Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Joining us to report on the World Cup, as he does, it from the great state of Texas, Michael Musselman. Gunner, what's up? How you doing? Uh-oh, something's wrong. That's right. Hello?
What's up?
Nothing. Give us our World Cup update. One game in the book so far.
Oh, what a relief it is. Ladies and gentlemen, to report to you that Mexico lost to Brazil. The cities will not come tonight.
I'm a Mexico hater for them booing the national anthem in Pasadena in the Rose Bowl years ago, so I don't...
I'm a Mexico hater because of all... Yeah.
That's, you know what? Stupid.
That's the difference. You know, you come to a country to assimilate the population, to become, you know, to the American dream. It's come here for the American dream, and then, America. You come to America, and again... Try to shit in countries. It doesn't work. They'll deport your ass if you don't assimilate.
I was just talking about like you go to a game and who boos the other? Who boos another team's national anthem?
I mean, Mexico.
Come on. Yeah, I mean Canada did it too. You know, it's bullshit. Not,
who did that?
Canada did it.
Canada?
Yep.
Some bitches better be careful.
Yeah, no shit. I mean, it's just, look, I get it. You don't like, it's a big rivalry, you know, the United States, the big bad United States, and, you know, but to boo somebody's national anthem, come on, who raised you?
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, mind your P's and Q's, because what you have to do is mobilize all the Marine Corps ROTC high school programs, and I'll be right there and go march across the border.
I've never rooted for Russia in anything in my entire life, okay?
Oh, I have.
I haven't. Never in my life have I rooted for Russia. But on Saturday, as the home team, it was, they had no business beating Spain, and they played, you know, the game exactly the way they had to play it, which is, hey, we're going to play D, we're going to take this thing into extra time, then we're going to take it into a shootout, and then we're going to roll the dice in the shootout, and they won. Supposed to make it out of the group, made it into the round of 16, and now they're into the round of 8 as the host team. It was awesome to see. I haven't seen any reports, but I would imagine every ounce of liquor was consumed in Russia in the course of the last, I don't know how many hours, but there were probably too many. There wasn't probably too many sober people in Moscow on Saturday night.
Vodka sales went through the.
It was awesome. It was awesome. If you didn't see it, it was great theater. But I'm not sure that the game, the shootout yesterday between Denmark and Croatia was absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Both absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, they were nail biters, man, the whole way.
Yeah. So, have you decided?
I can't believe you're into it now. It's like a fever.
I'll watch I don't watch the NBA, but I'll watch the NBA finals. Like, I don't watch soccer, but I'll watch the World Cup.
Wait. We go from talking about sports to talking about.
Yeah, I know you don't recognize in your own warped world. You don't recognize, but I love to see like great athletes compete, you know, and basketball. You know, I grew up watching it, loving it, and playing it, and so uh, So I don't watch much, but I'm fired up. LeBron James going to the Lakers, baby. Yeah, the purple and gold again.
Here, listen. Whoa, that's pretty cool.
There's already people upset that there's no LeBron James jerseys out yet.
Oh, that's just horrible.
It just happened last night. That's right. Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson and the Lakers, baby. Deal with it. I like high level competition. Like I'll even watch the biathlon. You know, the gold medal round, the gold medal race. So yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Great athlete. So what's the coolest thing relative to the World Cup so far is what?
Is that, I mean, the coolest thing, I think it's been cool.
The coolest moment, the coolest moment that you've seen.
The coolest moment?
Yeah, mine was the shootout, Croatia-Denmark. The goalies, normally you don't see goalies make that many stops. I want to say of the ten shots, there was what? Five blocks of the 10? It was crazy. Yeah. It was crazy. So, that to me was really exciting. Really exciting stuff. So,
it's been an exciting series so far.
Here's an email. Mac, there's been no reports of the whole hooligan and racist stuff in Russia.
What the hell is that? What wild animals?
That was Joe. I don't know. I heard a noise outside. So Joe's gone to investigate it. You're not getting in, you know, Fob McNamara, as long as Joe's around, just so you know. Right? You're going to get Joe, then you're going to get a 45 slug. That's right. That's the way Fortress McNamara works.
What about a warning?
A warning for what? That you broke into my house? Yeah, sorry.
Man, I'm telling you, better give a warning.
I'll give a warning.
Nothing says you can't.
I'll give a warning.
I'll give a warning.
No, I don't know. I mean, I'll yell halt right as I pull the trigger.
You want to make motion straight target.
But if you're drunk and you're bouncing off my walls, like I'll recognize that. I'm not just going to shoot first. I'll identify friend or foe. But if you're lurking in my house and moving the way a predator would move, you're going to hear this.
Well, then, yeah, that's different. If you're acting, using the shadows and you're lurking,
there's
a completely different ball game.
You're going to hear this. Pump! You're going to hear that. That's what you're going to hear. And it might not actually be in that sequence. It might be boom, right. Halt. I don't know. That's the way I would do it. You know, I don't practice it all the time, but, when I draw it up in my head, like, I'll make sure that, you know, you're not just some drunk that came in the wrong house because I left my front door unlocked. I'll give you a chance.
Right.
I'll give you a chance. Be a real quick one, but it'll get a chance. But Joe's on it. He just turned one a couple weeks ago. So yeah, like he's hitting his prime, Big Joe. So, but when he barks when I'm on the air, it pisses me off, but I can't get to him. Right. I just look at him and he knows.
Yeah.
He knows. What did, hey, I want to ask you a question and go back to our, you know, today's day two of Gettysburg on the calendar. Day one though, the Union cavalry held off, a Confederate infantry division as they approached from the west because they had Sharps carbines and the infantry guys had their long rifles. Do you know off the top of your head, the rate of fire for a Sharps carbine? And how was it loaded?
The carbine would have been loaded, you know, it would have been the one I'm thinking of is the breech loader. So it would have probably been really good soldier. probably loaded it 25 rounds a minute.
Wow. Okay, so it's breech loaded. Explain breech loaded, and then what kind of ammunition is it? Is it metal case ammunition? How is the ammunition?
No, it would have still been like it would have been like a cartridge all set up. So you would have your cartridge in there, your powder, it would all been in like a cellulose or a paper. You know, you just stick it in. You put it in. Now, I'm trying to look. I actually I had a book about the guns of the Civil War, and it really detailed about it. I got so many books on this bookshelf, and they're all out of order. Because someone in the house doesn't know the way I put things on the book. That makes me mad. Anyway. Yeah, it would have been a breech loader.
That many rounds a minute?
Yeah, about 15. I'd say 15 to 20, because I'm thinking every once in a while they got to punch that bar, they would get really nasty. Or using not smokeless powder. I mean, if you looked at a battlefield, if you could imagine what the battlefields, like some of the old movies, when they fired, would have been that observation would have been in there, and the more they would have fired, it just got thicker and thicker, and there's not a lot of, you know, reported back then weather that day, not a lot of wind, it was just kind of... So I bought some cannons too. I mean, it would have been horrible. But I can't find that book.
The carbine was very popular with cavalry in both Union and Confederate, blah, 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 blah. I'm looking for the rate of fire. Any replaced by Spencer 7-shot carbines. That 7-shot, would that have had a magazine?
Is that what you just said?
Yeah, the Spencer 7-shot carbine.
And like the 7-shot carbine. Yeah. I mean, so if you look at, I'd have to look that up. The Spencer 7-shot. Was it in the Civil War? They're saying it was in the Civil War.
Yeah, they said towards the end of the Civil War, Spencer came out with a 7-shot carbine that...
The end of the Civil War.
The end of the Civil War that cavalry guys preferred to the Sharps carbine.
That would have been like the Smith & Wesson carbine.
Something like that. Okay.
It would have looked
What would have been the rate of fire for an infantryman during the Civil War?
With musket loaders?
Yeah, with a rifled musket, essentially.
Oh, man. I think you could get 10.
A minute?
Yeah, I mean, a really, really good guy, good group. If you're loading, 10 would be one out of three. You know, you shoot them. To tear the cartridge, pour the powder, put the blood in, pound it down, put the primer cap on. Yeah, you could do that. It's probably more, if I say 10, 12, it's probably more realistic to say 6 to 8.
Okay. All right. 6 to 8. 1 every 10 seconds. All right. So let's
look at what they're up against back then.
Right. Right. So I've got to shoot it. I've got to pull it down. I've got to powder, right? The powder cartridge. I've got the round. I've got to tamp it down, and then I've got to shoot, right?
Right.
Okay. So
the Sharps rifle, it says 8 to 10 rounds per minute.
Sharps rifle, they said, is 8 to 10?
Yeah, 8 to 10 per minute.
That's the rifle. What about the carbine?
Sharps carbine?
Yeah, that's the one that the cavalry had.
That would have been the Sharps Hackens. See, the seat was a steady breech action made measuring, so it didn't come out until, well, okay, so it came out in 1852. By the time it would have gotten out from me, it would have been, the war is almost over with, so there's not a lot of information, and there's only 8,000 ever built. So.
It was the rifle that was, it was a carbine that was used on day one. So a cavalry,
Well, no. See, now you're talking, I think what you're getting confused is the Spencer, right? Remember we talked about that? The Spencer rifle came out in the or later part of the Civil War. But the loading, you loaded the rounds through the, and it came into the gun. So the, you could hold the, with the Spencer, well, it was a lever action. It was like the first deep rifle, by the Army, the Union Army. It held 7 rounds.
Yeah. Weapons of Gettysburg, the Spencer repeating rifle.
Yeah, so the Spencer was not the Sharps repeating rifle. The Sharps sort of came out after Gettysburg.
Okay, so the Spencer, describe, I'm looking for a picture now of the Spencer.
The Spencer looks like, it's got a falling block, or it's got you got to pull it back each time, the actual striker, you know. So it looks just like a normal rifle. You pull it back, got a cocking mechanism. That would load the next round and the last round, but you have to cock it each time.
Okay. So is so the cocking mechanism, is it a lever?
Yeah, it's a lever underneath the gun. Will it look like one? It looks like a big gun, but it's actually a cocking mechanism. Like, you know, like later on, behind the trigger guard, you know, where your 3 or 4 fingers would go, could easily flip it out. This was the whole trigger guard itself.
Okay, I'm looking at one. The model 1860 Spencer repeating rifle, 52 caliber, from the something Gettysburg National Museum collection. The overall length of the rifle is 47 1/8 inches. It fired metallic rim-fired cartridges from a 7-shot magazine. This particular weapon was picked up between Union and Confederate lines by First Lieutenant John Patterson of the 148th Pennsylvania. It was probably a private purchase weapon, detailed view, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So the Union took possession of 45,733 of those weapons beginning in the start of 1863. Buford's men holding back wave after wave of Confederate infantry with their Spencer carbines west of town. The company regimental and division ordnance records of the regiment under Buford show that his troopers were armed with Sharps, Burnsides, Merrifields, Ballards, Maynards, as well as Spencer rifles. So their rate of fire, though higher than the infantry of the Confederate, is not as high as some people would lead you to believe. The combination of choosing the terrain, experienced cavalrymen, and a marginally higher rate of fire sustained the Union cavalry west of the town throughout the course of the day. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay, so it's funny you say that. I think the most interesting gun in the Civil War is Maynard carbine. If you look at Maynard carbine, it looks like it's freaking hilarious. You got a little well that's covered by a plate that has your tape primers. So they'd have to actually have a primer. And then it's like a little cap, and they put a percussion nozzle that goes in the flash tube where the powder would be, right?
Right.
So the Maynard, it's a ridiculous looking gun. I've only seen one ever. Maynard has a cocking mechanism, like the lever action.
Right.
But it's breech-loaded. Pocket, the breech opens. You take the shell, butter, you stick it inside the breech, close, cock the hammer, right. And a little piece, I think, when you do this, there's a full cap. If you look at the side of the main, the cover that covers that, there's a roll, a paper roll of caps. It looks just like the caps when we were kids, the red, you know, comes in a roll.
I'm looking at the picture of it now.
And it comes up, and it goes right over the flax, and it causes that happen. So when you look at it, you're like, what the hell? Because totally affected by weather, man. If that cap well got wet, you're screwed. But it's such a perfect device. You look at the well when it's closed. There's a lever that closes that and keeps it tight. But the Maynard thing is the goofiest weapon, I think. Made of the Civil War.
Wow, look at it. It is.
I mean, it looks like it's...
Yeah, let me just tell you.
I've
never seen it before, but it looks... exactly like a cap gun, what we used to put in the well of a cap gun. And you could see that, God, you could imagine it got wet and you couldn't shoot. Now, did that shoot, rimfired ammunition as well?
Yeah, 52 for rimfire.
Right.
52, and I think they're all over the place. I mean, they were, you know, shooting all sorts, 35 caliber, the caliber, right. I mean, everything.
What a nightmare. In terms of ordnance, what a nightmare not having, you know, standardized weapons. You can imagine.
The whole,
shit show.
That's the whole, the ammunition. And because you could have 50 calibers, you had the caliber rimfire, 50 caliber, wildcat caliber. I mean, the cartridge lengths were all, I mean, everything was different. So you had huge logistic nightmare of supplying troops with ammunition.
Yeah, it
was common practice. I mean,
right.
On the battlefield, if you ran out of ammunition, you kept another gun from a dead soldier that had cartridges on his thing, and that's the rest of your shoot down.
And you took his weapon and his ammunition, and there you have it. Just got resupplied.
Yeah. But it's, I'll tell you, if you across a Maynard, a real one, not a fake one, not a Reaper. Send it to me. Gift it to me. I'll take it off your hand. It's a goofy gun. You probably have a collection. Especially if you get, because what was cool about the Maynard is actually all you had to do is change the barrel. The barrel came complete with the lever and everything. So you could go like the long barrel or the short barrel and then caliber long barrel.
It's
just like that.
No, it straight up looks, the picture I'm looking at, like the cap gun thing, is hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. And I guess there's nobody like you sitting in the room and like, hey, that's a great idea. What are we going to do when it rains? The cap compartment's airtight.
Hey guys, you invented yet? What's an O-ring? Okay, I take no for an O-ring, right? How about silicone? What's silicone grease? Screwed, boys.
Yeah, what are you, Marty McFly? What are you, Marty McFly? Coming back and like,
yeah.
Gonna lock everybody on? The, interesting. The, what else are good? Hey, I've been asking people, what's your go-to breakfast?
Coffee.
Breakfast is the most important meal of the day, right?
Yeah.
And what do you have for breakfast?
Coffee. Why are you laughing?
Because you're the second. I had a guy who writes for SoftRep. His name's Alex Hollings. He's a good dude, former Marine. On earlier, I asked him the same question.
What did he say?
Coffee. Mine... Yeah. So I don't drink coffee. Mine is peanut M&Ms and Pepsi. That's it.
What?
Yeah. I started doing it in Okinawa. I don't drink coffee. So
I just felt good when you said that.
Yeah, it's the best. So yeah, Maybe not so healthy. Here's another question. I'm trying to visualize this weapon in my head. So explain to me how this thing sits. I'm not near my phone. I'm listening to you guys on another device. Explain to me how this works. The caps go where, and how does the breech open? So, Mike, you want to go through the design?
The caps are on the right side. There's a well. There's a round well that's a plate. So you open the plate and your cap tape. You feed that a feeder system that goes up towards the hammer. And then the breech, that you close the plate. There's a little slide lever that puts pressure on the plate. The breech is... You pull the lever on the bottom. It's like a lever, and like a Winchester. You pull it, it opens the breech. So just like a regular breech loaded shotgun, it drops down. Just looking at you, you put your round in there, you snap the breech, and then pull the hammer back, which feeds. There's a mechanism that pulls it up, and then puts one of the climber of the tape in front of the flash. And then you pull the trigger and the hammer. The cap tube and the round goes off.
Here's another one. How do you spell Maynard? Just so I can look it up. Mike?
M-A-Y-A-N-A-D.
Maynard. M-A-Y-N-A-R-D. Actually, there's an S. And the Maynards. I guess Maynard. Ballards, Merrifields. Maynard is the name. It's really interesting. One of the, as Mike said, one of the more unique weapons of the Civil War. But
And if you ever this one, send it to me.
Where did you see one?
I actually had one in a collection.
You actually owned one?
No, my buddy did.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
I didn't own one. Jeez, I wish I would.
Another email. Mac, did either one of you two ever fire any Civil War era weapons? I have not. Mike?
Yeah, I have. I fired a hand feeding rifle from the Civil War.
Wow. Well, another one. Hey, Mac, you guys are talking about interesting weapons. Gunner said that was one of the most unique weapons of the Civil War. Is there a weapon that he's fired in his life that he thought was really cool? Interesting question, Mike. You fired a few weapons. What? Give me the coolest weapon.
Go ahead.
No, yeah, you're going to do it. But give me the coolest weapon you've ever fired, or one of them.
This weapon I ever fired was a Russian Ian Alpha.
Wait, say that again. You cut out. A Russian what?
A Russian Ian Alpha November 90.
Alpha November 90. What is it?
It's a freaking AK, but it's not an AK. It's built in 1994 by it's Anton Makova, who actually did the. But what it does, it's a very complex. It uses a series of pulleys and cables. Every time when you pull the trigger, it fires two rounds instantly.
Instantly?
Yeah, because the way it works is the barrel moves. It's on a slide mechanism. The breech and it's on a sliding mechanism. The barrel goes forth. It slides. So the way it works is you chamber around, the round's chambered, the barrel's full, fire, boom, it fires. The barrel then goes back on a pulley system, loading the second round. It's going back, and then it fires again, and in its rearmost battery position, it fires.
Wow.
Very complex design.
Now, the Russians, though, the beauty of the Kalashnikov is that it's a relatively simple, the design is simple and reliable, and one of the reasons why it's been the most prolific firearm around the world. Does this change? Do they deviate from that in this weapon? Do they make it?
Yeah, it's different.
Okay.
It's a completely different gun. It looks from the outside, but that's as far as it goes, man.
Wow. Now, where did you fire it? Where did you fire that?
In Quantico.
So, was that a pretty good job?
Yeah, I got the fire gun. But yeah, the AN-94 is absolutely ridiculous.
The AN-94. Interesting. Here's another email. Hey, Matt, could we go back to the World Cup? Do either one of you two have a favorite or somebody you think will win?
Yeah, France to win.
France pretty good. France pretty fast. France has that dude, 19 years old, who scored two goals. I mean, took off like a rocket down the wing, man. He's unbelievable. France scored a goal that I think probably one of the prettiest goal I've seen. They start deep in their own zone, and I want to say four passes. It goes like up the left wing, through the center, and then goes to the right wing, and then the guy kicks it cross, you know, the pitch diagonally, and hits the rocket in stride, who boots it. It's a beautiful, you know, goal in terms of ball movement. And this kid's 19, scored two goals, the first teenager to score multiple goals in anything other than the group since a guy named Pelé. So when you're hearing your name, you know, mentioned with that dude, that means you did something good. But that guy's unbelievably lightning quick. So pretty cool. France, pretty good. And Spain out now. Argentina, Portugal. So, pretty interesting, tournament as it shapes up, So who are now the odds on favorites, Mike? Uruguay, one of them still, yes? France.
Yeah, Uruguay.
France.
France, Belgium. Brazil is now still a favorite.
Yeah, Brazil looked good today against Mexico. Was it Neymar? I mean, he was tough. He was good.
Oh, yeah.
He was good. I hadn't seen him play before. I'd read about him, but boy, he's got some skills. You could see that.
Oh, yeah.
He was good. Here's a text message. I'm embarrassed to say that I'm with Mac. I've never rooted for the Russians at anything, but I was watching them sing their national anthem in that stadium, just packed, everybody going crazy. How could you not root for the Russians? You know what? That's what I thought. And they were clearly underdogs. I mean, Spain was like, the ball was in the Russian zone virtually the whole game except for a few counterattacks. But wow. All right, Mike.
Yeah.
What's the other game today?
Belgium plays today.
Who are they playing?
I think Japan.
Belgium and Japan. That's a big game. So pretty cool stuff. The Mac, can we go back to the Civil War? The answer to that is yes, we can. You guys were talking about the caliber being somewhere between 50 and 60 for most of these weapons. Was there a reason for that? Oh, there you go, Mike. That's right up your alley. Was there a reason why weapons had that caliber?
Really, it came down to at that time was they believed back then. I mean, bigger was better, bigger mass bullets because they were just ball rounds. So, you know, that'd be the biggest reason.
There you have it. Bigger, better. Another email. Hey, when the 4th of July falls on a Wednesday like it does this week, how does the 96 work for most units? Gunner, you commanded a division. How'd you do it?
Huh. That's a good, I don't know.
What? Okay, the 96. Right. How do you? So you're going to have the 4th off. So you're going to have Wednesday off, right?
Half a day. Half a day Tuesday. Half a day.
So you have half a day Tuesday. You have all of Wednesday, all of Thursday, and half a day Friday. Because if you give them Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that means Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's 5 days off. And I think, don't you have, like, who approves that? Division commander? Corps commander? Who approves that?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's... But let me... Suffice it to say, there will not be a whole lot of work going on today. Okay?
No, no.
Because
it's a wash.
So if we were the way Marines maximize 96s, okay. Let's just say if it was Friday and Monday, okay. Mike, what time's everybody leaving on Thursday?
Oh, like 1, 2 o'clock.
At the latest, right? All the Marines cut loose after formation at 11:30. You know, you do your safety checks in the morning, so nothing's going on Thursday. Right, you'll do safety check. Everybody swoops. Okay, so then you get like half a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. What goes on Tuesday?
Nothing.
Everybody rolls in, and the worst is when you have like an exercise or something, and people gotta have their stuff packed, and you got to do that on Wednesday the following week, the previous week. Right? And it's all got to be staged because people stumble in after 5 days off. You need dynamite to get them to move.
It's tough, man.
After that much time off, it's tough. Another email. So, Mac, you're going to do your show from Texas, and then you guys are going to get on the road. I was talking about All Marine Radio going to start being expeditionary. I had to buy a laptop and some other. I had to like start experimenting how to do the road. And here's the biggest thing, Mike. If I can upload the signal and stream it via a cell phone, that means you were truly expeditionary. I don't need an internet connection because I got one. So I got to do some experimenting. But so the plan is Granbury. Do a couple shows from Granbury. Do you think Buck would let us do the show live from Buck's Boot Barn in Granbury, Texas?
Yeah.
He would let us do it there?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. All right. I'll get the requirements. They shouldn't be much, but I'll get them to you. So we do it there, and then we head towards North Carolina. Now, when you drive, you said it's 1,100 miles. That's a one-day drive, right? It's a long run. It's a long day, but it's a. But we're gonna make a detour in Alabama, so and then the change of command is Friday evening, right?
I don't. Whatever August 2nd falls.
August 2nd.
No, it's a Thursday.
Oh. All right, that changes things. So we'd have to leave. Either Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, let's say we left on Monday, got better, because then we could be Alabama on Tuesday, do the show in Alabama, and then get back on the road and be
in North Carolina on Wednesday, change of command on Thursday.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That's right, expeditionary. Expeditionary through the southern half of the United States. Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff.
Hey, I'm getting a lot of the compliments on how I handled that scammer on the email on Twitter over the weekend.
Tell everybody. I get this phone call yesterday. What? Did you see what I just posted on Facebook? No. Look, you gotta look. So Mike, tell everybody what you did with your Sunday. Part of your Sunday.
So yeah, I Kissinger thing from a guy who lives here in Texas. He's, you know, hey, how's things going? I'm good. Why? How's things? You know, I ran. Da 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 da. He said, you know, he came out and said right away, hey, have you heard about the International Monetary Fund Commission? So I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, I've heard of it. So I've heard about the social scams that go along with it. He's, and then he came back before he started losing. He's like, no, no, I, because it been hacked. So then he comes back and, you know, I got a sum of $1,000 after paying a clearance fee of $1,000. Should I get you online so you can get yours? And I start, and then I, my reply to him was, I laugh, you know, laugh out loud. I really wish you'd have called because I really like talking to scammers. A bit of advice when using someone's contact information. Look them up. See if you didn't have people that would about this. Really? I don't understand how people fall for this, but you really got to do your homework. His answer was, and I read, and I'm sorry for his swearing because I'm going to read it verbatim. Comment to me was, fuck your ass, die if quarrel should happen between you and anybody because you are to be gunned to death. So I tried to reach back to him and say, listen, for a little bit of 1995, I can spell check the messages before you send them out so you may not make mistakes. And of course that didn't, because he blocked me. So it was like, you know, wow. I mean, I was being nice. I mean, giving him some advice. Hey, cause again, if you pick a profile of somebody that's believable, and in this case, the guy that he picked, definitely not believable. I mean, only in hell that this guy that I know would have talked about the IMF, International Monetary Fund. If I asked him what the IMF was, let me tell you, isn't it impossible? And of course that who works for in the movies? And that would have been his. Not the, in the International Monetary.
So, but how does he get your Facebook stuff? Because this happened to me once. You and I talked about this, but it's like I get a friend request from this guy I know, and it's his picture, and it's Ralph Kingsbury. He was a columnist at the Grand Forks Herald. He writes on economic issues. He's a friend of mine that I had on my program up there for a long time. This guy had taken his name and pulled a picture off his somehow he got access to Ralph's Facebook profile. Could have been just looking at it. And then he took a picture, and then he looked at his friends, and then he started contacting his friends in an effort to do identity theft. And so mine was, hey, Mike, which not too many people call me Mike. Hey, Mike. How you doing? Have you heard of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and what they're doing for veterans? ? Hey, Ralph, how's it? Oh, and it started with a friend request that I accepted.
Correct.
That I accepted, thinking it was my friend, and then it came this, and that's a huge scam. So if you see somebody who you think you're already friends with and they're refriending you, or it's check into that. Stuff. I just clicked, said, yeah, you know, Ralph Kingsbury, of course, yeah. And then I thought later, like, oh, I thought I was already friends with him. You know, and like, oh, he must have unfriended me or started a new Facebook page or whatever. And I didn't give it any thought. Now I scrutinize that kind of stuff all the time, or at least when people try to friend me. And it was like, hey, yeah, look, if you plug in, if you contact this guy, you know, all he needs is your phone number and your social security number, your address, and you can qualify for $38,000.
Right.
And so it's like, Ralph Kingsbury's telling me this? Like, what the hell? So,
yeah, it's too good to be true.
Right. It's probably not. So I click on the link, and it takes me to this other Facebook profile. It's got a guy in a naval officer's dress uniform, the dark jacket and the white cover, right? And hey, I'm Commander so and so, retired from the Navy, working for Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and the picture's kind of junk. It's too small of a picture, right? So it's grainy and very pixely. Looks stupid.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, holy smokes. So, but I'm curious. Like, hey, man, what's up? Ralph Kingsbury gave me your name. Like, how do I get my money? How do I get my grant? Like, oh, look, I'm the channel that I'll help you with the application. I just need this information. And I said, well, what information do you need? And he puts up all these things, right? And I said, how about this? And I won't tell you what I wrote. It started with an F and ended with a U. And then he's like, then he reverted to his normal scam jackass self. And so I reported it to Facebook and they shut it down. But it's a pretty common, scam, I guess, using somebody else's picture and becoming friends with their friends. And I was reading a story about how much money is built out of people on Facebook by people pretending to be people they know. I was like, holy shit,
yeah.
Man.
Lots.
It's like, and the whole Nigerian uncle who died and left you money? I saw an article about that. The billions of dollars that are stolen from people annually on that scam.
If you're a sucker for that, then you know what, as they say, I soon will soon depart. You know, you just can't. If it is to be true, it's not true. I mean, there's nothing to tell you there.
Yeah, no, it goes under the heading, right? I can fix a lot of things. I can't fix stupid, because that is like as dumb as it gets. As dumb and as, I mean, all you have to do is like scrutinize it for at least 10 seconds. And I mean, but it's amazing. And I don't know if it's more older people that have this happen, but when I was living in Grand Forks, North Dakota, one of the scams that they were doing on people was they were calling, they said, hey, Grandma, this is Mikey. Hi, Mikey. I'm stuck at the border and they won't let me through. Can you wire money to me? They'll only accept cash. And people were doing it.
Yeah.
You know? And you're like, you don't even recognize your grandson's, And it's just like, oh, wow. It sucks. That kind of stuff sucks.
It's sad that people take advantage of people.
Well, yeah, especially older people, who get confused and whatnot. But, yeah, anyway. All right, what do you got going today? Anything fun? Anything exciting? What are you doing for the 4th? Big party in Granbury? Gotta be.
The fireworks.
How's your dog do with the fireworks? Good, bad?
He doesn't like them. He goes into the master tides.
Yeah, I've got...
It's dark and quiet in there.
I've got one of each. Joe, he's kind of the stupid dog. He doesn't care. He just looks around like, what was that? Jack, he thinks he's under assault. He goes in.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does not. He hates
it. Saint Blitz just, thinks he's back in K-Song and just gets in the bunker and hides.
I was walking Jack. I live maybe 4 blocks from Orange County Fairgrounds. And so they're setting up the Orange County Fair right now. So I'm walking Jack. This is a year or two ago. And we're on the backside of the fairgrounds. They have a little speedway in there that they race midgets in there. So during the day, they're setting up the fair, and they were testing. They decided to test the fireworks just as we get on the backside. So they fire the FPF once. And this shit's not going up at maybe a couple hundred feet and exploding. Jack, he loses his mind. And so then, because they're testing it, they do it again about 2 minutes later. We're about another few hundred meters down the road, and they do it again. So now, whenever he sees rides, like the bright neon lights of a ride, right tail right between the legs, he goes into the slink mode, ear down. Got it? Yeah. Like, who put me in case on again? So Jack doesn't do too well. So anyway, are there Are there many fireworks restrictions in Texas? Can you do what you want, or you guys have bad fires down there, or no?
That there would be, but I haven't heard of them. Nor, I mean, does it really look like they're not in effect, because it's crazy. I mean, the fireworks display, I've seen all, and I will tell you without a doubt, that these are some of the I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty sad when you read, you know, that people are getting maimed for life and killed because of the fireworks stuff. And so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those things actually explode, everybody, so be careful. Be careful. So, anyway. All right, man. Anything exciting the rest of the day? Hanging out? Monday?
No, just in World Cup. And just relaxing. So it's kind of recovery day.
Yeah. Monday is weekend recovery day for the Gunner, right? All weekend given to his wife, making Tina's life perfect. And then so.
Yeah.
Got to reclaim a little bit of that. All right, man. Have a good day. I'll talk to you.
All right.
There you have it. Our World Cup correspondent, the one and only Michael Musselman. Hey, Mac, I just noticed that you already have the first 2 hours on your website. What's up? Are you feeling okay? You know, no reason to be a snarky smartass. Okay? I'm trying. You know what I do is I put the headline up and the audio up. So if you want to go there and listen, if you missed the first hour and you want to go there, you can hear it already. And I don't wait till I produce the whole thing. So what will happen is that there'll be a little bit written about the first hour. There'll be pictures that go up that talk about the first hour and for the second hour. That all takes to write and post it and tag it and do all the rest of the stuff. That all takes a while. Yeah, it's called post-production. But so what I've taken to doing is throwing the audio up there real quick with a placeholder, and then I build it out later. Yeah, see? You can get smart. Anybody can get smart. That'll do it on a Monday. Yeah, interesting show, by the way, if you haven't heard it. Almory Radio, getting expeditionary. So beginning our movement. So again, if you enjoy it, if you listen, don't be afraid to fund us via GoFundMe, because we're taking on some additional expenses as we attempt to begin to be expeditionary. The next target is going to the Marine Corps Marathon. Yeah, broadcasting live. Heck, can you imagine me and the Gunner? We know a lot of people in the Marine Corps, too. It'd be a live, straight-up shit show. Yeah, get the Commandant to come on. Hey, sir. What's up with being a Trekkie? Yeah, we could bust his balls live on the radio. Give him shit about how much the Tigers suck. How much the Lions suck. How much the Pistons and Red Wings suck. Yeah. So, Almond Radio. So, again... GoFundMe. Yeah, raise the money to get out on the road and go do some stuff. So, people already donated this morning. So, my thanks already to Libby and Ken. God bless you. To the rest of you, have a great day. You'll hear coming up Rooting for Russia, Charles Krauthammer. A little bit about Gettysburg, my favorite breakfast, all that comes up in Hour 1, and a little bit of some news headlines. Hour 2, Alex Hawley from SoftRep. We talk about you know, being a writer, how do you do it? If you've got to write 20 articles a week, how do you do that? We also ask him about transitioning advice. Alex, in 3 years, has become a pretty successful writer. Yeah, no kidding. SoftRep is a big organization, and SoftRep's a big organization, and he's very prominent. If you go to their website, he's always up there. We also got his advice about, because he used to work in HR, in the defense industry. How do you build a transitioning resume? So his advice is pretty interesting. And then he talks about real men, something he wrote last week, an opinion piece called Real Men Actually Think for Themselves. So Alex Hollings, always fun to have on. And he talks fast, too. And the gunner. The prince, as he's known. Have a great day on a Monday. Aumarine Radio, over and out.